Welcome to the Mint Euro Special 2016 podcast. Over the next 30 days, Ankit Prasad will take you through some of the most exciting happenings from on and off the football field.
Hello and welcome to European Nights, a show about football. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of July, and so we wish all our listeners a happy Eid. There is some tremendous football coming. 20 of the 24 teams that started out with hopes of winning Euro 2016 have gone home, and probably elsewhere on summer vacations after that already, but 4 of the best still remain. Wales, despite some stellar performances, are probably the most surprised to still be around, or they're thinking this whole international thing is easy peasy. They've now bettered their 1958 World Cup quarter-final appearance, but their fans will be anxious to not have to wait another lifetime for such a moment to arrive. Win it now is what they're thinking. Portugal, on the other hand, are just befuddling. They're clearly a good side, but just as clearly, instead of outright winning the cup, they appear to be trying to pull off one of world football's greatest ever heists. Portugal's results in 90 minutes so far have been 1-1 versus Iceland, 0-0 versus Austria, 3-0 versus Hungary, 0-0 versus Croatia, and 1-1 versus Poland. When winning seems too hard or too risky, they're perfectly happy sitting back till something materializes or one of their highly potent attackers conjures something out of thin air. It's quite ridiculous, some may say unholy even, but you can't argue that it's not thrilling to watch them. And in a way, it's understandable because it works. Let's take a closer look into what's to come. Tonight, at 12:30 Indian time, Wales and Portugal will meet in Lyon to contest the first Euro 2016 semi-final. Neither side has won a major tournament before. Portugal are probably the biggest footballing power to have not done so, though to be fair, they've been knocking on that particular door for a while now. During the legendary Eusebio's time, they reached the semi-final of the 1966 World Cup, losing 2-1 to eventual champions England at the old Wembley. In 1984, they were beaten in a thrilling European Championship semi-final by eventual winners France, and the same thing happened again at Euro 2000, with Zinedine Zidane netting a 117th-minute golden goal penalty. They've always been there or thereabouts. They lost the final of Euro 2004 at home to Greece, a result that sent the entire nation into shock and the footballing world into denial. In the World Cup 2 years later, again Zidane returned to haunt Figo and co. His first half penalty proved decisive in a desperate semi-final at the Allianz Arena. And since then, in the Ronaldo years, they've been eliminated in knockouts once by Germany and twice by Spain, most recently in the Euros 4 years ago in a penalty shootout after the match had ended goalless. It's almost a tragic tale, and you get the feeling that similar heartbreak would be too much for them to endure this time around. Their advantage, though, is they may just make it all the way to the final before coming across the kind of superpower that is generally done for them. Coach Fernando Santos had seemed visibly buoyed after the knockout chart had revealed a tenable path all the way to the Stade de France for the final, and since then his side has been uncompromising in terms of not accepting loss. They're battle-hardened and patient in a nervous and dramatic sort of way. On the other hand, Wales are in wholly uncharted waters. European Championship semi-finals aren't even England's territories anymore, and yet here they are after having beaten Slovakia, Russia, Northern Ireland, and most recently Belgium. It's an alarming rise, which is easy to attribute to Gareth Bale, but that's not only lazy, but also off the mark. Wales are here not only because of one superstar's contributions, and possibly not even two's. Instead, their whole team has rallied as a unit, and each of them are punching way above their apparent weight. In their last match, Hal Robson-Kanu, who plays for Reading in the Championship, ended up scoring a goal so stupendous that it floored Belgium. You could tell that the Belgians didn't think Robson-Kanu was a direct threat the way they rushed to block a pass he never made. Also, Wales's Ashley Williams has been delivering the kind of uncompromising captain's performance that Belgium sorely missed because of Vincent Kompany's injury. Match winners, it appears, can be found even in the unlikeliest of places. Getting more specific, Portugal have had one more day's rest than Wales, though they did play that tense extra time and penalty shootout versus Poland, and so as such, both sides should be equally fresh. It's also relatively balanced in terms of absentees. Aaron Ramsey is the key miss for Wales, and that's huge. He's been phenomenal in this tournament, and not just because he is a technically gifted attack-minded playmaker who is fit for once, but also because he inspires his teammates. You can see how confident and composed they are when passing the ball to Ramsey, because they know he's a class player. It's a problem that he's missing, and Joe Allen, for all his virtues, will not be able to fill that void. Jonathan Williams of Crystal Palace will most likely be the one who replaces Ramsey, and he'll have his work cut out keeping track of Portugal's midfielders. Renato Sanches will almost certainly start again after his goal against Poland and brings all sorts of energy and drive and talent to proceedings, but while that's good in attack, at the back Portugal have big problems. William Carvalho, their rock in midfield, is suspended, and Pepe, their main defender, who has demonstrated hitherto unseen levels of maturity in the last few games, is also doubtful because of a thigh injury he picked up in training. It could just be a smokescreen, but in case it isn't, then either Ricardo Carvalho or Bruno Alves will have to replace him. That's a problem, because one is 38 and the other is 34, and Gareth Bale runs at about those many kilometers per hour. The sight of Ricardo Carvalho being helpless as his side concede is one that we've seen before, and it can be pretty funny. So Portugal may be down a backbone, while Wales have lost very much the beating heart of their team, and that means that we could actually get exactly what we want, a direct contest between Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale, the two most destructive players in Europe. We'll get some experts to decide who's got the edge on whom in just a bit, but it's worth adding here that Ronaldo has a little more support than Bale. It may look like Nani's only getting in Ronaldo's way most of the time, but really they actually love each other and always have. And Quaresma and Andre Gomes and Joao's Moutinho and Sosa can play some good passes too. So Bale knows he has to provide if his side are going to make it. We're banking on him to get at least one goal today, and it may be enough to take the match to extra time and possibly penalties. But Portugal to progress in the end, one way or another. And now, to decide who's the better player between Bale and Ronaldo, we have one man who has just joined Manchester United, Jose Mourinho, and another who has consequently just left the club after 29 years there, Ryan Giggs. Mourinho. First of all, Giggsy, sorry for making you leave club. Like I said at the presser, you wanted my job, and so I had two options, kill you or throw you out. And normally that means you would be dead. But as I am still pretending I have matured and changed and found God, you're lucky. Giggs. Phooey, you're not fooling anyone. And after the season you've just had at Chelsea? I'm surprised you're not being tortured somewhere in Siberia by Abramovich's lot. Anyway, let's get to the match tonight. I'm gonna be dressed like a Welsh dragon, and my man Gaz Bale is going to run rings around your friend Carvalho. Mourinho. I must admit I feared for my life a little bit after Chelsea, but I hide well and wait for Hiddink to make everything better, and by the time I return, everything is okay again, and I am once again a winner. I always win, and Wenger never win. And also, Wales never win. Gareth Bale has been a failure at Real Madrid. Both those Champions Leagues are because of my good work at the Bernabeu, and once again Ancelotti come and he take the credit. Giggs. Actually, Jose, shouldn't most of the credit go to Ronaldo? Because while you were making a prat of yourself and poking people in the eye, he was scoring all the goals. And Bale's done quite alright by my estimation. It takes a while to settle at a new club and in a new country with a different style of football, and he's shown he can do that. Plus, he's been great for them at the Euros. Now, I've seen Ronaldo play since he was a teenager, maybe even taught him a thing or two, who's to say, but he's gone off the boil as a creator a bit. He's only interested in scoring the goals at the end, but Bale takes part in the whole thing. He runs at them from deep, and also his free kicks are better because he knows that he needs to get the ball over or around the wall and not hit it straight like Ronaldo seems to think. Mourinho. You have made a good point, but the objective is not to run around the whole team. The game is to win, and for that you must score goals, and that's what Ronaldo does. While he was at Old Trafford, he had all of you to lead the team and let him get on with it. But at Madrid, the requirement was to win every match, and so he decided to do it himself. It's admirable that he always wants to score, because if he doesn't want to score, then his team will lose. He has all the attributes, right foot, left foot, head, complete footballer. Giggs. Why is it not a surprise that you agree with the whole winning it anyhow philosophy? Mourinho. Ronaldo's also, how you say, hot. Giggs. You're insufferable, you are.